I gotta get out of here as soon as we're done with this, because I got lots of stuff going on.
What's
today? That?
What does that mean? What are you doing? You have a hot air balloon you're going up in. You could only do it in early morning.
And I will be doing drugs on it and partying.
Really?
Yes, with Hunter Biden.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's the big hot air balloon party with Hunter Biden today for me.
And the captain, if you can call him that, is a hooker.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
A Russian hooker.
Yes.
Yeah. So,
and his name is One Eye.
Please don't shoot down any balloons.
No, please do. If I'm actually up there doing that, please shoot it down immediately.
Today's a great podcast you don't want to miss. Brought to you by Relief Factor. Going about your daily life when you're living with pain sucks. It's a lot easier when you don't have pain. But you know that. I know the feeling. I dealt with severe pain for years. I never found the right way to get rid of it. I mean, it was horrible. And I wasn't enjoying my life. I wasn't painting. That's something that gives me so much joy and clears my mind. My hands were in so much pain, I couldn't hold a paintbrush. Well, Relief Factor. I found it. My wife convinced me to take it because I'm like, it reduces inflammation. That's meaningless. I take ibuprofen. This is not ibuprofen. You want to get out of pain. 70% of the people who try this go on to take more month after month because it works for them. It does for me. ReliefFactor.com. Call 800-4-RELIEF. 800-4-RELIEF. ReliefFactor.com. Feel the difference. Here's the podcast.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
At important meetings in 21 and 22, powerful leaders from government, finance, media, business, all who support the World Economic Forum's plan for a great reset of capitalism, launched a new call to action titled The Great Narrative. The Great Narrative campaign seeks to use the decay of traditional values throughout the West and new and future advancements in technology, including the areas of artificial intelligence, automation, the metaverse, robotics, and more, to seize control of economies and societies in North America and Europe. They will impact your life all over the planet. It is going to change the definition of free will, freedom, and even what it means to be a human. According to the leaders of the Great Reset, the Great Narrative movement, by the year 2030, your world will be fundamentally transformed, and you're going to be happy about it. This is the topic of the next book in the Great Reset series. It's coming out in July. Be the first to order it. You can do it now, Barnes & Noble or Amazon.com. Glenn Beck with Justin Haskins, Dark Future, Uncovering the Great Reset's Terrifying Next Phase. And I'm proud to say that Bill Gates, somehow or another, is on the cover, too. That's a nice addition.
Congratulations, Glenn. You have the number one book in America in the category of fascism. So you've beat out Mein Kampf. Congratulations.
Wow, thank you.
You've done it.
Thank you. Thank you.
They're going to use that against you. Glenn Beck, best-selling fascist author. what's fascinating is you also now have the number one book in America on Amazon when you search for Dark Future, which is the title of your book, which has not been the case until right now.
Wait a minute. What?
Now, when you search for the title of your book, it actually shows up. So it's
really?
Congratulations.
Wow, that is great.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Great. Okay. So grab your copy now. Make sure you get a copy. You can order it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you buy your books. Okay. Let's go through a couple of other things. Just read this story. Asteroid the size of 22 tuna fly closer to Earth than the moon. Now, I don't know what the hell's happening, but I've never measured things by the size of tuna. I don't know. Tuna could be the size of a car, size of a suitcase. I don't know the size of tuna. I have no idea. I've never had to go out and hunt my own tuna, you know, and gut and clean it and then go, hey, who wants tuna fish sandwiches? I mean,
we just have to hope that it's not a Costco, you know, economy size can of tuna.
Right.
That could blow up the entire world.
I mean, I was just starting to get down with the measuring of asteroids by the size of camels. Remember that came out?
That was weird too.
What the hell is going on? I'm telling you, aliens have taken over, and they're like, it's about the size of 22 tuna. That's what they say, right? That's what the humans, they measure by tuna? No, I thought it was camels. What the hell?
It's tuna or camels. Yeah, okay. We know that. Those are the two competing systems, like right. English and metric. You got tuna and camels. That's the only way people understand things.
I mean, if you said three Mustangs, I would go, okay, we're not talking about horses, I don't think. We're talking about cars, right?
Couldn't you just say three cars?
Yes, you could. Yes, you could.
Three cars would make sense.
Yes, you could.
How many tuna is this thing?
22 tuna.
Like, there's got to be something.
Yeah, 22
that's 22
tuna.
Times the size of a tuna.
It's like
that would be better to summarize this.
It's like Noah's Ark, you know, cubits. How big is a cubit? I don't know. Compare it to a tuna. How many tunas does a ship need to be? Anyway, did you see the Ford Mustang and Chevy Camaro dead as of January 2024? Going to be electric. So the last ones are coming off the line. This year it'll be the 2024, but the last one off the line is January 2024, which I hate. And the have you seen the SRT Demon?
Yes,
the Challenger.
The Dodge Challenger Demon SRT.
Yeah,
there's like five names there, but man, that thing's impressive.
Let me just say, if you happen to be in the car business and you have a lot coming in, a Dodge Challenger SRT Demon, I know a customer. His name kind of sounds like Len Eck, which is weird. And for anybody who might, maybe my wife listening, I am not saying for me.
No, you know someone.
I know somebody who would like one of these and can't find one of these. And I'm just saying you should call 888-727-BCK so I could pass your information as a dealer on to this friend.
That friend, yeah.
Yeah.
I think they don't go on sale until Monday. I think it's the 27th.
I mean, I've called around and everybody's like, I mean, my friend has called around.
You called around for your friend?
Yeah. Yeah. And he said he was calling around. Like, let me get on the phone. Maybe that'll, you know, sway some. No.
They're only making 3,000 of these things.
3,000.
1,025 horsepower, I believe.
Yeah. Zero to 60, not zero, actually. Rolling start to 60 in 1.66 seconds. Okay. Holy cow. That's amazing. With a parachute.
I mean, how can we abandon this technology when we're just getting good at it?
Just pisses me off.
Like, we're just nailing the combustion engine and having it do incredible things. We're like, let's just bail completely.
I know. It drives me out of my mind. It really drives me out of my mind. Everybody, did you see that Ford just lost $2 billion in 2022 because of EVs? They're electric vehicles. That division lost $2 billion. That's, you know.
And it's, by the way, there was a big story that I think it might have been in the Times as well, talking about the effects on local economies because of the electric cars. These areas that have been built on parts manufacturing and all of this are just being destroyed. And look, as a guy who likes innovation, that is part of capitalism. It does happen when you have new technology. But what usually is the reason for it is you have new superior technology. Technology that people are choosing and want and desire, and therefore the older industry goes away. That's not what's happening here.
No.
It's not like people are choosing, like, I gotta have an electric car. Some people are, and they're great. Some of them are incredible cars. But like,
I really like the Tesla. I don't own a Tesla because it's impossible to recharge if you're going on a long trip, and I like to drive cross country. So I'm not buying a Tesla. You know, you get something where it is, you know, I'm
at
able
some point,
to go someplace and I can, you know, stop at a electric fueling station and it takes me, you know, 10 minutes to recharge it. I'm good. But no, I don't think the technology is. I also don't like the fact that, you know, you can burn up in your car. But
that's
but
minor.
Other than those two things, you know, I'm good with it. This is insane. We do not have the transmission lines to be able to deliver this kind of electricity. California leads the country in number of electric vehicles. You already have brownouts and blackouts. What are you, crazy? Where are you going to get the electricity? Where is that coming? I mean, you already don't have enough. It's just, I mean, it makes absolutely no sense.
You seem frustrated. Almost as frustrated as I am trying to figure out what the average length of a tuna is. Which is, I've been trying to do this entire time, and they range from, let's see, 4.6 feet to 9.8 feet for an adult male. These are larger tuna, obviously.
So we don't know if it's male or female.
We don't know, but like, is it an albacore at 4.6 feet? Is it a Pacific bluefin tuna at 9.8 feet? That's incredibly important here, right? You're talking about doubling the size of this asteroid.
We have no idea if this asteroid is blue Pacific blue
albacore tuna or Pacific bluefin
tuna. We have no idea what could possibly hit the Earth today. No idea the size of it.
It's 22 times that. So
that's a lot.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
I mean, is it 22 right. times 4 or 22 times 3?
I just
or
hope
22
it
times
lands,
10?
If it hits Earth, I hope it lands on my house. I mean, and me in it. Not my family. Just me. Just take me out.
Your family agrees.
Yeah, I know they do. But Dodge dealers, they do not agree.
They don't make decisions for Len Eck.
No, they don't.
Oh, he's a totally different person.
He wants one of these SRT demons like crazy. So you should call and I'll pass your number on to Len Eck. And
good dude, that Len Eck.
He is a good dude. Keeping America running one of these Dodge.
Right.
You know, because They may not sell out.
Would this be something? Now, this is something, a totally different conversation. I hate to bring it up here, but like, would this be something your wife would oppose if you wanted one? Now, I know you don't, but I'm saying if
I wanted one,
yeah.
No, she would be. Are you kidding me? She'd kill me. That's why I don't want one.
No, I know you don't want one.
Yeah, but I would like a Dodge dealer that has access to one. Just to call because my friend might buy one. Probably pretty done deal on that one.
Mm.
But he'd have to talk to his wife. But his wife is so cool. Anyway, 888-727-BECK. Welcome to the...
Not you.
Right.
You can't design it from scratch, but your friend Len.
Right.
Len Eck could describe
it. Len Eck could do it. Vaughn in Oklahoma is on. You're with a Dodge dealership.
Yeah, that's right. I was calling to maybe get in touch with this friend of yours.
Yeah. Now, you'll have to be careful because his wife doesn't know about this.
Okay. We'll keep it between us.
Yeah. Keep it between. And any friend of Len Eck's wife, you'll be dead to me if you tell his wife. If you tell his wife about this.
Why would you care that much about
Len? Just a good friend with him. Just a good friend. And
oh, okay.
Just might, you know, he'll break it to his wife slowly. He'll talk about how much money they're saving by buying this.
Oh, okay.
You see what?
Right. Okay. Right.
For sure.
Yeah. So you have some allocated?
We do. We have two allocated to our store.
Okay.
And I think one of them might have had a customer's name on it that rhymed with Len Eck. I don't know.
Shut up.
Well, I've heard this friend of yours occasionally misspells his name. And it looks like your name. It's
yeah, but
very
only
similar.
That bastard only does it on contracts. You know what I mean?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Sometimes, yeah.
So, Vaughn, we're going to get your phone number, and then my friend may call you later about
this. That'd
be great. Now, he sounds like me, but don't be fooled. Okay? Don't let him pull a prank on you like that.
Absolutely. Okay? No, we'll make sure that we properly identify this individual.
So, for people that are looking to buy one of these are, do you get to design them or are they just coming?
No, they're just coming.
They're just coming.
You know, they're what's called the last call. It's the last time they're going to make this engine.
Right, but I mean, there's no features that you can upgrade, use, yeah. Right? Can you do that?
Not at the moment.
Wow, okay. All right.
Interesting.
Because they're set for a set amount, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, only 1,500 are coming to the U.S.
3,000, I think.
I think it was 3,000
total. 3,000 total in the U.S., 300 in Canada, I think.
300 in Canada, yeah. Right. Yeah. So they're coming as Dodge builds them. They're not customized.
Okay. All right. Okay, well, he'll call you or somebody from his office because sometimes they get very busy in his office. He's, I don't know what he does, but he's...
you know, and if he happens to be, you know, a short drive from Oklahoma City, I don't know that...
It's Dallas weird. I think he lives by Oklahoma City.
Near Oklahoma. Right?
Yeah.
He lives right near Oklahoma
City.
Oklahoma. It was meant to be.
All right, Vaughn.
We should get Vaughn's information.
Yeah.
We should at least say what the dealership is.
Yeah, what is your dealership? What dealership?
Bob Howard Dodge.
Bob Howard Dodge in Oklahoma City has one Challenger.
Wow, has one been sold?
Yeah, apparently, Lanek, I don't probably, know. Yeah, the guy, he said it was already had a name on it. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much, Vaughn. Hang on, I want to make sure we have your information and we will, I'll have my friend reach out to you. So
You said yourself.
Does anybody have any advice on how to remain married when you have to tell your wife you want a Challenger? Has anybody done that successfully? Love to hear from you. This is the best of the Glenn Beck Program. So, probably anybody who is my generation or a little younger, their favorite movie is Ferris Bueller. And in Ferris Bueller, there is this scene.
In 1930, the Republican-controlled House of Representatives, in an effort to alleviate the effects of the... Anyone? The Great Depression, passed the... Anyone? A tariff bill, the Hawley-Smoot Tariff Act, which anyone raised or lowered? Raised tariffs in an effort to collect more revenue for the federal government. Did it work? Anyone know the effects? It did not work, and the United States sank deeper into the Great Depression. Today, we have a similar debate over this. Anyone know what this is, class? Anyone? Anyone seen this before? The Laffer curve. Anyone know what this says? It says that at this point on the revenue curve, you will get exactly the same amount of revenue as at this point. This is very controversial. Does anyone know what Vice President Bush called this in 1980? Anyone? Something D-O-O economics. Voodoo economics.
Okay. Art Laffer, who the Laffer Curve is named after. Welcome to the program. Hi, Art.
Thank you. It's so good talking to you, Glenn. You're a hero of mine.
Thank you. You are mine as well. So, Art, you are always the most optimistic guy because you have gone into countries that have collapsed and turned it around. So I know we can do it. I'd like to ask a couple of things. What your feeling is with all of the pressures that are, I mean, we're shutting off energy. We are on the verge of a war. I hope to God not. We have a possible banking collapse in our horizon. I hope to God not. And inflation. So what is your outlook? And then what are the most important things that we should do to encourage Congress and look for in the next president?
Well, let me just say the things you listed there, we are in those troubles. We do have a banking crisis. We do have inflation. We do have a very muddled policy of the government. And there is a land war in Europe that is going on that's quite serious and is threatening. All those true. Now, that doesn't mean it has to be true going forward. I mean, just when we came into office in January 20th, 1981, Glenn, we had Jimmy Carter. We had four presidents, Johnson, Nixon, Ford, and Carter, what I call the Four Stooges. The largest assemblage of bipartisan ignorance ever on planet Earth. The economy had tumbled. The stock market had fallen from 1966 to 1982. The stock market fell by like 65% in real terms. So we were at the tail end of a really bad hurricane, but we could turn it around. And I think right now is the same way. I mean, I'm feeling very depressed about the policies that are going on, as you mentioned, and everyone knows all of them every day, all the time. Biden wants more taxes. His budget's $6.9 trillion. You have people flipping you off all around the world. It is a bad picture, but right now I feel that this is the time for a cataclysmic change in U.S. policies and gives us the opportunity to really change the face of the earth, all for the better. And I think the election of 2024 portends to be a really good election for truth, beauty, and the American way. That's me talking.
Right.
Now, the Republicans are right now as much a problem as are the Democrats. Mm. Don't think of this in Republican-Democrat terms. Think of this in pro-growth, pro-freedom, tax cut, controlled spending, sound money. Think of it in those terms, not in terms of parties. And I think we can do it, Ben. I mean, Glenn.
That's
his friend.
My,
yeah.
That's my friend is trying to buy a car, and his wife doesn't know about it.
No, I was thinking of Ben Stein. Okay. Played that video, that clip.
So that's all right. So, by the way, have you talked to Ben recently? He's such a great guy.
I talked to him about 6 months ago. I spent a lot of time with him.
Yeah.
And he wasn't doing well at the time.
Oh,
he was
no.
Well.
Oh, if you talk to him, say hi to him for me, will you?
I sure will. He's a great guy.
Great guy. Such a great guy. All right. So, Art, can we just take this apart here for just a second? Have you seen, and I'm not talking about what we can do, because I do believe if we unleash the ingenuity of the American people, really free them, and then, you know, stop all this insanity, we can rescue our country. I agree with that. But have you ever seen us in this kind of situation historically, where we seem to have all of the decks stacked against the Republic?
Yeah, I think when I mentioned 1980, before 80, I think it was all stacked against us. It was really depressing, Glenn. I know you were really young then, maybe not even born yet.
No, I was.
But the world was really grisly. Mm. It was dark. It was grim.
But
I was
didn't have
beyond
the
belief.
We didn't have the debt that we have now. We didn't have the...
Oh, there are differences. They're true. But we also didn't have the tax rates then that we have now. Our tax rate now, highest income tax rate, 37%. Back then, it was 70%, Glenn. We had in 1976, now that's just a little bit before, every single state in the United States except Nevada had a death tax. Every single one. Today, 33 states have gotten rid of their death taxes. So there are lots of things. I mean, pollution. I come from Cleveland, Ohio. Lake Erie, back then when I was a kid, to prove that you were the Christ, you wouldn't have to walk on the water. Hell, anyone could do that. You know, we had smog in L.A. We had, I like 25 three-stage smog alerts. And then, you know, we were facing a horrible enemy at that time in 1980. Mm-hmm. You know, Russia wasn't a joke back then like it is now. I mean, so, you know, I think these times we all tend to think of our own time as being the worst ever, but it's just as bad back then. And partisanship was horrible post-Nixon. I don't know if you remember, Democrats hated Republicans like mad. They wanted to kill every Republican. Yeah. Rah, rah, rah. It was just like it is now. I mean, there wasn't a civil libertarian. There wasn't a libertarian, a probe private person in the place that wasn't pilloried by the lefties. Mm. And that's the same thing now. Crime was horrendously high back then. Well, I don't mean to be lecturing at you, but these are very bad times today. But bad times lead to great changes in public policy.
If you
look at the long picture, we're winning. We're not losing. The conservatives in this world are winning big time.
Do you see, and you don't have to name, but do you see one or more politicians that could actually be a Reagan and pull this off?
I see tons of them who could be. You know, the potential here in these people, there are some really qualified people. They have flaws and stuff like that, but they move. I want to see people who can read and can learn from their own mistakes and other people's mistakes to do a better job, not a doctrinal locked in the mud, you know, type of people. Reagan learned a lot when he was governor. He was the biggest tax increaser ever. He passed all the anti-abortion statutes in the state of California. He chaired the Equal Rights Amendment. He was a union leader. It called nationwide strikes. And Reagan became the best president ever because he learned. But I see people like DeSantis. I see people like Cruz. I see people, even Trump. I see people all over the place that have the potential of being a great president. And as a Democrat, let me just put it. There's a guy who's governor of Colorado named Jared Polis, who is doing an amazing job. He did not do a lockdown in Colorado. He did not. He was right along with the Republican governors. He wants to get rid of the income tax there. He's cut property taxes. You know, he shipped groups of illegal immigrants to Chicago and New York. I mean, there are people all around who have the potential of being great.
So, Art, when you look at what's happening with the Federal Reserve, when you were with Reagan, interest rates were 18 or 19%, if I remember right.
Yeah, 21.5% when we took office on January 20th. There you go.
21. 21 would...
Don't miss the half.
I know. 21 and a half. You are... That would kill everything in America today. How... When you look at the Fed and they were saying, oh, this is transitory, and now it's not, and you've got the banking crisis that's just underlying everything right now, and they still raise the rates, that should tell you they're freaking out now about inflation. Is that true or not?
Well, I think there's a difference today than there was then. And let me do the one today. The Fed has made huge mistakes of keeping interest rates at 0% for a long, 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 long time. And banks have developed their portfolio strategies, all their actions based upon zero interest rates. So now once they've made the mistake of thinking the world is zero interest, and they've got those portfolios, there's no way we can adjust back to market rates without having grave ramifications in the banking system and other financial institutions as well.
So how do we
get out of the business of controlling interest rates, the better off we'll be.
So that's
free markets should do that, not some Jay Powell whose credentials are nothing like Volcker's or Greenspan or McChesney Martin's. I mean, these people are not the competent gravitas people of the past.
You now have the central bank of Switzerland guaranteeing Credit Suisse. Germany central bank said, you know, if there's problems with Deutsche Bank. And so everybody is doing this. Yep. How do you reverse that?
Yeah, I know. It's tough once you're in the suit. It's like, and this is an example of, if I remember correctly, you told me once that you were an alcoholic and you got rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's going cold turkey.
Mm.
You know, you got to stop drinking.
What is
it? When you have a state running monetary system, which it should not be there, when you have a state running every tax, every government spending, just stop already. You know, two people stand in there, Glenn. One's been a lifelong smoker and the other one's never had a cigarette. And you ask them both to not smoke for the next 3 months. For the guy who's never had a cigarette, that's fine. Let's go. I'm fine with that. The guy who's a three-pack-a-day smoker, oh, my God, it's the end of the... We have allowed ourselves to be addicted to socialist economic policies over the last 20-plus years, and it's wreaking havoc on the U.S. How do we get back to free markets? And I know of only one way of getting back to free markets is doing it right now. The Fed's balance sheet is almost $9 trillion.
I know.
I mean, we have a budget proposed of $6.9 trillion. We have a national debt of 125% of GDP. All of these things, Glenn, need to be stopped. Now, how do you stop it? You know, you stop it by going cold turkey. Now, when we got in, we went a little cold turkey with you. If you remember 1981, 82, 83, it wasn't the prettiest period.
No, it wasn't.
But tell me how you liked the story and the ending of that story.
I did.
Wasn't it beautiful?
You're listening to the Best of the Glenn Beck Program.
It's amazing. The corruption is just startling to me. it is so clear and so obvious, and no one is really talking about it. It's just all about politics. Bill O'Reilly joins us. Bill, the U.S. attorney nominee that Joe Biden just put up is a guy who was in the District of Pennsylvania. And while the Delaware's U.S. Attorney's Office was investigating this healthcare company, he was the guy who was working on that case. Well, that case and the defrauding of the healthcare company, the guy who was accused of defrauding it is Jim Biden. And he had been interviewed by this lawyer several times. Now, the last person that he nominated was, Cindy Chung. She was confirmed to the Third Circuit Court of Appeals. Chung, whom President Biden had nominated for the federal appellate court, had been overseeing the criminal investigation into the bankrupt healthcare business AmeriCorps, a business Jim Biden allegedly siphoned hundreds of thousands of dollars from to finance repairs for his beach house. I mean, what is going on there? Two attorneys?
Well, we need Elliot Ness to come on in, don't we?
Boy, we do.
You know, look, I don't think at this point for people listening to the Glenn Beck radio program, and you've got my corgi all upset now.
I'm sorry. Didn't mean to mention
Holly, knock
Jim
it
Biden.
Off. We all know about Jim Biden, okay? Holly apparently did not know about Jim Biden.
Yeah, it's a shock when you hear it.
Yeah, and so she's really upset. But anyway, does anybody, and I'm asking this seriously, not think the Biden administration's corrupt at this point in history? Is there anybody who doesn't think so besides Joy Behar? I mean, it's so... But then the frustration comes back, and then people write to you, they write to me, well, what can we do about it? And the answer is nothing, because 80 million Americans voted for Joe Biden. And, you know, you get what you pay for when you go to the store, and you get who you vote for. So my congressman is George Santos. I voted for George Santos, right? I mean, I didn't know. How many people research Congress people's background?
Right.
I never met him, but he's my congressman, and I voted for him because the guy he ran against was a far-left loon,
right.
Zimmerman.
Right.
Okay? So I got, you know, I really don't want a far-left loon representing
right.
me.
Right.
So I vote for George Santos, who turns out to be Dracula. I mean, so what can I do about it? I can mock him on the radio and television, which I do, but votes are votes. So yesterday, an AP poll comes out. Joe Biden's approval rating is at 38%. Now, I don't know anybody among those 38. Do you know anybody who's
I don't.
Voting? Okay, I know people who hate Trump, still hate him.
Yeah.
And still won't repudiate their Biden vote because they hate Trump so much.
Correct.
I know people like that.
I do.
But I don't know anyone who goes, I want that Joe Biden to run again. I'm doing him a little Muhammad Ali. Oh, Joe Biden to run again. Okay? he's the greatest.
Right.
You know. So we all know, the country knows. But here's the key question. Will the country learn? And I'm sorry, but I don't think so. We're just too poisoned with ideology, too emotional now. We don't step back and really understand that you have to vote competency. You know, when I had my supper with Trump last Tuesday, number one, he paid for supper, and it was good at Mar-a-Lago. There's good food there.
May I ask, are you a hobbit? What is the difference between dinner and supper?
A supper is for working class people.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Dinner is for. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Mar-a-Lago. But anyway, 2 hours. It was just Trump and me out on a little patio, you know, and all that. And I went over, there's some of us on a record, some of us off the record, but I went over some questions that I needed to know about how he did what he did. That was what the O'Reilly Trump history tour was all about.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and now we got an update with Putin and Xi and the cartels.
Yeah, I know.
Look, you may hate Donald Trump with, you know, a passion, but he has a grasp of the issues. That's the bottom line. He understands the dynamic. He understands economics. He understands foreign affairs. He knows who the players are. And he governed, in my opinion, in a responsible manner. Now, once he starts on the road to, you know, ranking out, remember ranking out when you were a kid? I'm going to rank you out by insulting you. Then it all just goes crazy. But by just as an administrator and trying to get the country in a strong position, Trump succeeded. But you'll never get that from the corporate media or the people who hate him.
So
never.
If he, I mean, he's, you know, running again. If he gets the nomination.
And he probably will.
Yeah, I think so too.
This all will help him.
Yes.
All of this crazy stuff will help him.
He's not a person anymore. He's a symbol. He's a symbol of I want to fight back. He's almost been adopted as people's proxy in some way. Every time he's hit, they feel the hit that they've taken. And so
very good. Very good,
right?
Jack. So very, very good.
So
it's a transferal of emotion.
Yes.
So Trump is going to be in Texas tomorrow. He's given a speech in Texas.
Yep.
And I can guarantee you that there will be so much emotion in that speech, not on the part of Trump, and you know what he's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just today he called Alvin Bragg a demented psychopath or something like that, you know, in his usual, very casual way. So you know Trump will give the red meat speech. But if you look at the crowd that goes there tomorrow in Texas to see him, they have emotion invested in the man.
Yes. Yes, they do. So let me ask you two things. One, if he gets the nomination, do you think he can gain anyone who wasn't on his side last time?
Yes, because it's the grocery store vote.
Okay.
So the independents who don't necessarily hate him, but are not approving of his demeanor, they got to go to the grocery store. Okay? And this is getting worse and worse and worse. So he'll get a portion of those votes. And then depending on who he picks as vice president, and I hope it's DeSantis, even though now they're slinging mud at each other again. And I did talk to him about that. And I told him flat out, I was cutting my Dover sole. I looked up and I said, you want to get back in that Oval Office? You got to put DeSantis on the two. He's got to move up to Georgia, rent a little condo, and you guys have got to run together. He did not push back on that, Beck.
That would be that would be a way to get the ticket through.
That's right. If he wants to be president, that's your best shot.
Mm.
Okay? If you put Carrie Lake on the second, you'll lose.
Yeah. Mm. You think he knows that?
I'm not sure. Because he goes in and out. When he's with me, the reality zone descends. But at 1 a.m, I'm not sure the reality zone is there.
Wow. Is there anything that is bad enough to open this lead up?
Yes. If the recession kicks in, you've already seen Amazon and Apple and Meta and all these people laying people off. Big time layoffs. And you're going to see that, unfortunately, and I say that sincerely, at Fox. You're going to see layoffs now, and that can lead to a recession. So this time next year, and we'll have four or five primaries already under our belt, it's coming up fast. if the country goes into recession, there's even more pain at the grocery store than Trump gains.
Mr. Bill O'Reilly, thank you very much. We'll talk to you again.
Okay, Beck, thanks for having me, and I want you to join you and Stu, Team Normal, on BillO'Reilly.com. I'm sending you gear this week.
Oh, nice.
And you'll have it. And Team Normal is what we're doing right now.
Okay.
And I guess as part of BillO'Reilly.com, you're getting these insights of private meetings with Donald Trump all the time. I mean, this is incredible.
Yeah. And you're a genius, Stu. I just want you to let you know.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Bill. Bill O'Reilly from Bill O'Reilly.
One of the best measures of how corrupt a country is how rich its leaders get while they're in office. They're not so good at passing laws or governing, but they're great at investing.
Imagine if every American could make money off of war.
In 103 days, that position ends up gaining around 103%. So she made, you know, $2 million plus her original two, so $4
million. I signed, co-sponsored a bill and made too much voluminous flair over it that I wouldn't be seated. So I shut up. The threats that fly around are just absolutely insane.
The Blaze Originals team traveled to Washington, D.C., home to one of the most brilliant financial minds in the world, Nancy Pelosi. In our documentary, Bought and Paid For, How Politicians Get Filthy Rich, we spoke to Reps Matt Gaetz and Chip Roy, George Santos, and the bane of D.C. elites, Unusual Whales, to expose how our elected officials are beating the stock market and, more importantly, what we can do. To watch today, go to congressgetsrich.com and use code RICH to get $30 off an annual subscription to Blaze TV.
.com.